This is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. On today's Bloggers Roundtable, Senator Obama takes a grand tour while John McCain hunkers down in key swing states. We'll talk about the campaign and the latest polls. And President George Bush may be a lame duck, but he seems to be working overtime to burnish his image and reshape his legacy. But is it too little, too late? With us today to tackle these issues are Ron Scott, who blogs for the Detroit News, Nashika Washington, who blogs at yourblackfriend.com, and Chris Rabb, creator of the blog Afro Netizen. Hello, everybody.
Hi, glad to be
Hello.
Here.
Nice to have you. Let's start with some numbers. At the beginning of the month, polls showed Barack Obama with about a 4-point lead over John McCain. But Obama's marquee tour of the Middle East and Europe initially seemed to hurt him. According to Gallup, McCain picked up 2 points as of last Friday, but now Gallup's latest numbers show Obama moving further ahead, up by a sizable 9 points. Nakisha, you're here in the studio with me. Let me come to you. With economic concerns squeezing voters back home, how do you think Obama's tour registered with uncommitted voters?
Well, first of all, as far as the polling goes, stay tuned tomorrow for a new poll and different numbers. So I'm never sure how important that is. And the tour, I mean, it's great, but I'm not sure how important it is to Americans and the issues here. How many Americans are actually concerned about the impression Obama is making overseas? I don't see the correlation between.
Well, he was between a rock and a hard place, was he not? If your foreign policy credentials are questioned, so you go on a trip to try to build them up, and then it looks as if you're...
Are your credentials bolstered by speaking to large crowds? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's the question. Yeah. Chris, what do you say?
Well, I really want to address the issue of polls themselves, because national polls have little value in American electoral politics, because presidential races are won via the Electoral College and not a uniform national election. So to me, we really need to be talking about, can Obama or McCain win states that their predecessors won and one more, particularly in the case of Obama, since Kerry lost by one. So we need to be looking at this as state issues, not as national polls, because they really have no value, particularly this early on.
They have
some
value.
Change.
Yeah, I was going to ask that now. Ron, do you think polls have no value?
I think polls are marginal. You know, I've worked in a lot of campaigns, done polling, and in many cases have found them to be absolutely irrelevant, ultimately, because in final analysis, even if the polls have some reasonable margin of error, they tend to close when there are more funds and activities put into a particular race. And in this situation, I would tend to concur in terms of speaking to large crowds do not necessarily, they might get a temporary bump in the polls, but in the final analysis, it's what you do on the ground and the organization that you can provide in terms of, once again, I would concur with getting into the Electoral College in a fashion whereby you can employ a strategy to win that. So I think the polls are overrated. In fact, polling has become so significant today, and a number of people have created jobs for themselves, but I don't know necessarily that it really urges or pushes a win for an election.
One more thing about polls before we move on, since you all are clear in your feelings about them. Nonetheless, Wall Street Journal NBC poll says that Obama has lost his lead in Colorado, nearly done the same in Minnesota, which are pretty important battleground states. The question, though, and I'll put it to you, Chris, is how do you think he is faring in swing states at the moment?
Well, this moment, it will change from that moment. So I just think it's I think that's exactly the point. There are many moments between now and November, and I don't think there's anything inherently flawed in his candidacy or his campaign that would disabuse voters from understanding that he is as competent as any other candidate. I don't think there's anything in part of his platform that would estrange him from those constituencies.
Do we know his platform? I'm not really clear on that yet.
That is a good question.
I think it's pick an issue. I think he's pretty pretty clear. I think his rhetoric is intentionally vague because he's reaching broader audiences. But if you want to know where he stands, I'll put it to you like this. I think more people know where he stands on important issues that the media define as important than with McCain. There was a poll, and if you're into polls, this is one. I think that half of people who support McCain don't know where he stands on choice. That's huge. I think.
I was just reading an LBGT publication where they were chiding McCain about where he stands or does not stand on certain issues in regarding the LBGT community, and also in terms of choice on the right. And you're right; a lot of people are unclear about that. But I'm not so sure that Barack has done an adequate job in terms of dealing with things like health care. And, you know, basically the economy, a real strategy relative to the economy that really resonates, especially in swing states. And, you know, we got the euphoria from the Democratic primaries, but we didn't see the other half of the electorate in those states. So I think there is a greater need for clarity. I think that really, to tell you the truth, the campaign handlers are probably trying to be too slick with it. If you tell people straight up what you believe in,
right,
then I think you can get a better response.
Well, Nashika, do you think that, well, first of all, LBGT, meaning the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender,
yes,
community, do you feel that he has not been clear?
I think
enough?
He could be more clear. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
He could. I was thinking this morning, why hasn't someone just created a website that says my first 100 days, specifically lay out what you're planning to do? And then let us judge you on that, on the merits, on both sides.
I thought they wanted to get elected.
Well, I understand. Say, it's politics. I know. What am I trying to do?
Get elected,
exactly.
For sure. Let's move on to topic number two. The Bush legacy. is President Bush making attempts
an oxymoron,
to repair his tattered legacy? Well, it certainly depends on how you view him. He now supports a housing bill that he once threatened to veto. He'll be signing a $30 billion initiative this week to fight AIDS in Africa. He's done an about-face on negotiations with Iran and North Korea. He's even agreed to a so-called general time horizon for troop withdrawal from Iraq. So, Nashika, what's going on in the Bush White? I mean, what's this?
I have no idea. It's too little, too late, whatever it is.
Really?
Yeah. I think, I mean, he does have a legacy that he's going to leave behind, and no matter what he does in his last few months, it's not going to repair all the damage that he's done.
What do you say, Chris?
I have nothing more to add.
Nothing more to add. Well, Rod, every president, you know, when they're lame duck, they begin to do things to try to burnish their image as much as possible. Now, some presidents have more to do to make that effective than others, and maybe George Bush could fairly be put in that category. But can he not do anything to help his image, Ron?
I think that his image has really been tarnished. I think at the beginning of this second electoral activity with George Bush, I think the shroud that was cast over the election itself, and subsequently the war and other spending fiascos and other things within the administration have really created a cloud that is going to be kind of hard to dissipate. I was particularly struck by the situation in relationship to Africa, the amount of money to fight AIDS in Africa. I think that's a rather strange kind of thing, because I think some of the governments in Africa, for instance, I know that some of the individuals that I've spoken to personally in Ghana and others have plans that can be utilized and can be subsidized. But I think that, you know, just to say that is kind of nice to say that everybody from Bono to Cher or whomever can say, hey, we want to do that. But I think it's going to be kind of difficult for him at this point with the war being a very, very clear legacy, a millstone around his neck, a drain on the economy and the lives of people. It's going to be kind of hard for him to really repair that. I think most presidents try to do it, but they try to do it with a little less heaviness weighing on them.
You're listening to NPR's News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox, sitting in for Farah Jadea. If you are just tuning in with me on today's roundtable are Ron Scott, who you just heard. He blogs for the Detroit News. Nashika Washington, who blogs at yourblackfriend.com, and Chris Rabb, creator of the blog Afro Netizen. Nashika, how do you think these policy shifts coming from the Bush White House are affecting the campaign, particularly as it relates to both McCain and Obama?
Well, as I understand it, as closely as I'm following it, not. They're all moving and they're all shifting currently to get to a place that they can get more votes or become more popular or somehow bring themselves closer to the center to reach different constituencies that they wouldn't otherwise be able to. So,
well, it sounds to me, you know, if I can use this analogy, you and Ron both, you go to a room, a party, an event, and you're standing there and someone comes close to you and you want to move away from them. And so you move away. And then they move a little closer, and you move away, and they keep moving a little closer. So here's McCain and Obama trying to move away from George Bush, and he keeps getting closer, to them.
that's partly true.
Yeah, it's true. And eventually the person is going to ask you to dance, and then you're going to see what's going to happen. So I don't know whether George Bush is going to come that far and say, I mean, you really raised it in terms of this timeline, in terms of truth withdrawal. That's a very significant thing because, you know, Obama has gone up and down in relationship to what he really wants to do on that. And McCain has not been clear at all in terms of what whether or not he even intends to withdraw troops. So I think that, your analogy is really kind of significant in relationship to it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Topic number three, let's move on to Kwame Kilpatrick, the embattled Detroit mayor, on the ropes again. Late last week, he was accused of assaulting a detective who was serving a summons to a friend of the mayor. A district court judge has restricted the mayor's travel and forced him to put up a $7,500 cash bond for his ongoing perjury trial related to his testimony in a 2007 police whistleblowing trial. Now, Nashika and Chris, I'm going to come to you on this, but I've got to go to Ron first because he's in Detroit. So just this saga is just it's mind-boggling to watch it.
Well, everything is bigger in the D from Eminem to Kwame, so I don't know what to say. You know, Kwame Kilpatrick has been a personal friend of mine for a long period of time, and it's really, to tell you the truth, sort of surrealistic and sad to see this happen. I frequently tell individuals that Kwame spoke on the same night at the Democratic National Convention, as did Barack Obama, and gave just a dynamite speech. And to see the fall this far, it's really saddening, both for he and the city of Detroit. This situation was clearly an effort on the part of the prosecutor here to seek out one of not just Kwame's friends, but his really his relative, because his sister is married to the brother of Bobby Ferguson, who's a demolition contractor here, who has gotten a lot of business from the city. So apparently the deputy sheriff and also the other member of the prosecutor's staff were attempting to, as they say, they happened to see a license plate that said Ferguson Construction, and they just stopped in the house. Well, I don't believe that, but they did go into the house, and the mayor's executive protection staff allowed them to do so. And it's a question as to what happened. I can tell you that I got a call, a source, hours before it hit the paper, and the people at the sheriff's department were quite upset. I don't know what's going to happen in terms of whether or not the attorney general who's investigating this, not the prosecutor who is in fact involved in the other charges with Kwame, but the attorney general for the state of Michigan is going to make a decision within the next 2 days as to whether or not the mayor is charged. And should he be charged as an attorney, he would be disbarred, and as a person who is facing a felony 5 years or more, he would probably have to step down. That's we don't know yet. The mayor's attorney has said, bring it on, bring on the charges. So maybe he knows something that we don't know.
We don't know.
In today's news. But it's just sad. I can't objectively in one way look at it without thinking about the possibilities that the youngest mayor in the history of the city of Detroit, one of the shining lights in the black community in terms of politics, in terms of having come to this. It's sad.
Has he done great things in the city?
Ironic, Nishika, that's the thing. He has done great things. He's built probably more housing. There's been more housing starts under him. He has, in effect, energized a number of the young people to get involved in the political process. He has, in fact, worked on generating more jobs. You know, he's done a number of things. He has a vision for construction that has been started.
I think he's going to have the whole legacy issue, though, as well, with everything that he may have done that you're saying.
Well, that's a question I was going to put to you, Chris, whether or not the blogosphere is really burning up about what's happening with Kilpatrick in Detroit.
I don't know if that was Freudian, but, you know, we need to connect. I mean, there's a reason we're talking about him on a national show, right?
Right,
this is
right.
a national
That's
show. True. And I'm trying to figure out why, because it's Detroit. So what are we saying about this young black mayor? What assumptions are we making? What dots are we trying to connect here? I think it's easier for me to connect dots with his mother, Congresswoman Kilpatrick, because of her involvement with the Congressional Black Caucus and seeking to build a partnership with Fox News to co-host a Democratic presidential debate in the fall, which black bloggers derailed successfully. I think that's a national issue, because that is individual private citizens, civic-minded, coming together in a meta-institutional way to hold people accountable who are not used to being held accountable. To me, that is far more a substantive national issue than the goings-on and the unfortunate circumstances around
the mayor Kilpatrick.
I just want to say one other thing.
Make it really fast. We've got about 10 seconds.
Because I'm from Chicago, and the home of Harold Washington, and I'm in Philadelphia, where we have a second black mayor in a row, and they watch black mayors.
I got to stop you there, unfortunately. I'd love to hear more of what you have to say, but we just don't have enough time. Ron Scott, blogging for the Detroit News. Nashika Washington, blogging at yourblackfriend.com, joined us here in our studios at NPR West. Chris Rapp, creator of the blog Afro Netizen, joining us from the studios of WHYY in Philadelphia.